If you need a Bible, raise your hand or your paw, and someone will deliver one right to you. If you don't have a Bible, we want you to keep that Bible as a gift in Jesus' name, because the Word of God transforms lives. It moves us out of just religion and into a relationship, a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's where we all want to be and where we all need to be. Amen? All right. A little problem with my mic staying on this morning. All right, before I forget, a couple of quick things. Gary, this is for you. Those of you who don't know, I'm going in for a surgery on Tuesday to have my kidney removed. So that'll be fun. But I am thankful for it because, you know, for those of you who don't know, if you're just visiting, because of this body, and I say this in a funny, loving way, but because of this wonderful body being involved and lovingly, thank you. That sounds so, thank you, Daryl. Perfect. Lovely coaching me to go to the doctors. This mass on my kidney was found by a fluke, but we all know that was our Father. Amen?
Amen.
And so they will be removing that Tuesday. So I asked, the surgeon. I said, okay, so I'm a realistic guy. I just like truth. And so I said, what is this going to feel like? You know, we're going to have to make, you know, multiple decisions through your stomach and muscle tissues. And I was like, okay, so what is this like? Because I have not had an organ removed, and some of you guys are a lot stronger than me in that area. So I said, what am I looking at? On a scale, 10 being the greatest pain you can experience and 1 being meh, I said, what are we really looking at? He said, well, you're not going to like me, but it's going to probably be a good 8, 9. I said, oh. 9. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking in my head. I'm sharing that with you guys. 9. He said, but, you know, as the time, it'll decrease rapidly. So, but I want you to know that I am thankful and I am 100% confident in the Lord. I fully expect to be back here as quickly as possible. I expect to be coming on Sundays. Now, maybe not the first time, but I want to be here. I want to be at church. I want to be with this body. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And so God has made us to be in a body. We live in a time where it's kind of weird. I had some wonderful people that contacted me this week. And, hey, we watch you on TV. And that is fantastic. If you can't make it in, fantastic. But God has made us to be a body together. Corinthians 12, right? We have different gifts to share and grow with one another. Iron sharpening iron, you know, we don't like when those sparks fly, right? But he's put us together for a reason. And so God wants us to be having that time together. So for the next 4 weeks, though, I am not going to be teaching. And we're going to be having a few folks teach for us. And I don't remember the exact order. But we're going to have Lester, or Lester and Peggy, I'm not sure which, but Lester's going to be coming up. But Lester's been, and Peggy have been missionaries in Africa for 50 years, and now they're missionaries here right now in the United States to everyone that they meet, and they do an amazing job. And so Lester's going to be sharing with us on one of those Sundays. Praise the Lord. You might not know Willie and Nicole. Willie and Nicole are friends of ours from the school and then now the church. And Willie's going to be teaching us. I don't know what he's going to be teaching on. He's been going through some things himself. But God, just even talking to him, he's just telling us last week. He was in the hospital this week. But he was just saying last Thursday, I'm just so thankful spiritually. I'm just, the Lord's doing a wonderful thing, even though I'm going through all this physical stuff. And so I'm excited to hear what God has to say through him. And so that's going to be a fun thing to do. Now, for those of you who don't know, Willie's got a degree from Liberty University, if you're familiar with them, and a master's or a doctorate from Anderson college. So that's an exciting thing. So I really can't wait to hear. I know he's very Spirit-led too. So I can't wait to hear what God has. And then Gary will be teaching. And then we're having a friend of mine, Michael Zia, who actually taught at Liberty University. He's going to come down, and he's going to be teaching here one of those Sundays as well. And he does some consultation and helps pick the next UN leaders. And so he's going to come and share a word. And God used him to help bring me to the Lord originally. And so, yes, before we were saved, I was the good one. I thought I was the religious guy. And then he got all of a sudden this thing called saved and born again. And he got all to be this religious zealous freak. Which, of course, now I'm just a Jesus freak, just like him. And so God does tremendous things through people. And so God will do tremendous things through you guys and through us. I am going to allow one thing. I feel embarrassed sometimes when people do things for me. I have no problems with doing stuff for others, but it's my own issue. And someone said, hey, can we pray for you this morning? I was like, Gary's already coming up. Do you have a, so I would also, are you going to anoint me with oil too? Okay. Yes. Lester and Peggy, would you come up? And Willie, and would you guys come up too? And since you guys asked me to do this, so I don't know if one of you feels led. And I don't even know where the mic is. Thank you. Thanks, Gary. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask that you pray. Okay. So I'm so sorry to do that, but I'm not excluding anyone else from praying, but I just felt led that at least you should, so no pressure there. Yes.
Can we invite everybody?
Yes. You can, absolutely. Do whatever you want. Be led by the Spirit, yes.
So I can get a spot.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
When's everybody's here that wants to be here? Somebody say something since I can't see. Something.
We still have bodies moving. You can't see from back.
Okay.
There.
Yeah. We're all coming.
Gary.
Yes.
I know everybody can't get up here.
Yeah, it's okay. God hears you first.
All right.
Just put your hand on a shoulder. Absolutely. Yep. Thank you, guys. I just appreciate whether you're standing, sitting. If you can't make it up here, don't feel pressure.
Yeah, you're touched spiritually.
Yes.
Are we ready?
Okay. Let's anoint Pastor first.
Lord, according to your word, we call for the leadership of the church.
Yes, Lord.
And here we have the body.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Coming together, agreeing together in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
An anointing with oil.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And Lord, you said that the prayers would heal the sick.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, we thank you for your word. We agree together. We stand together, Lord, on your word.
Yes.
And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in Pastor D's life and heart and body.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you, God. Lord, as Pastor Darren was saying, that we are a body, Lord, that we are one. We all have a place and a role. And God, I pray that we would come together as the body, Lord, that you would be glorified as we serve Pastor Darren and Lisa and their family. And I pray that all the holes and gaps and roles that will be empty will be fulfilled, that people will just step in, the ones that you called, Lord, and God, that they will, we just won't miss a beat, Lord. God, Pastor Darren and Lisa have taught us to follow you. They've discipled so many in this church, Lord, and I pray that we would just follow that example that they've taught us through your son, Lord, and I pray specifically just that when they take this kidney out, Lord, that there will be no cancer anywhere else.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
That's just my prayer, Lord, that I feel you laying on my heart. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you will do it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, I pray, God, just for that, the aftermath, Lord, that the pain won't be as bad.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, as we've encountered over the week, God, in the last couple weeks, Lord, your grace is sufficient and your favor is sufficient.
Yes.
And Lord, it's not always how we look. Sometimes we have to go through things. It's not always what we expect, Lord, but God, you are always with us. You always provide abundant grace and even more than we need. So I pray, God, that you would just pour out your grace on this family more than they need and on our body as well, Lord.
Yes.
God, help us to grow closer to each other. Lord, help us to honor you and to love you.
Jesus.
And again, just healing over Pastor Darren.
Yes.
And I pray also for Lisa, God, that you would just give her and the children just peace in their hearts and in their minds, Lord, even though they may feel concerned and it's scary and all of that, still your peace rules over everything.
Yes.
So I pray, God, that that would just rule and reign in their hearts, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Anybody else?
Praise Heavenly Father, we thank you for our
pastor. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for everybody that's in this congregation this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask that you would heal him.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And make his spirit a more warming spirit.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And Lord, we just... I ask that you would heal each and every one of us this morning.
Amen. Yes.
And show us the grace.
Yes. Outpouring.
Lord, just and we thank you for your son, Jesus, for dying for our sins.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask it in his name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Folks, I just want to say I appreciate all your prayers, and I want to say thank you to each one of you for just being a part, just being a friend, being a part of this body. And I just want to encourage you in the Lord. I have absolute confidence in him. Not trying to say that just to be positive. I have 100% confidence in the Lord. And I want to say if he chooses to heal me supernaturally, he's done it before, he can do it when they go in there. But I kind of think the Lord wants me to go through this for whatever reason, and I'm willing to do that. And it may be humbling, somebody's saying, and not up for the humbling part, but I'll take it if that's what he wants. And so I'm very thankful to him, and I'm thankful to you guys. So praise the Lord.
I feel led to pray.
Yeah, please do.
That you just anoint the physicians.
Yeah.
Everyone that Pastor Darren comes in contact with, Lord God, is an appointed meeting.
Yes.
And I just pray that you would just speak through him in everything,
Abba.
And he would be a witness to each one of them. And miracles, just whatever it is, you know, just the smallest even of miracles, that they would see it and they would be in awe of you and they would know that it's you.
Thank you.
That I just pray that you will just shine through everything. Follow-up appointments, pre-op, every step of the way, Lord God. I just pray that you will shine through Darren,
Hallelujah.
Lord. I know that you are using this situation for your glory.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love it. All right, well, let's get into the Word. That's what I'm excited about because it won't return void. I feel like you've been punished back here in the corner now. Thank you. Love you, buddy. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true. All right. Well, we are in the book of 1 Thessalonians, my friends. Going through chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We are in chapter 4. I think last week I read through chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, but I only got 3 verses done in an hour. So why don't I read those 3 verses and then do a 2-minute recap, and then we'll continue on and see what God has for us. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this time of worship, Lord God. Thank you for these wonderful people praying. Lord, I feel funny getting the attention on myself, but I feel that was from you, Lord, and led by you. Thank you for everyone who prayed and was agreeing in prayer, Lord. Thank you for, again, this wonderful, loving, just prayer-filled body, Lord God. I do pray their blessing and their growth, Lord God. And just trust you in everything. And I ask that you would speak to them, that you would teach them, that you would literally prepare our hearts to whatever it is you want to speak through me and through your word to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. All God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, chapter 4, verse 1. I'll read through the first three verses because that's what we covered. I said last week, but that was not true. 2 weeks ago now, Gary taught last week. By the way, I did listen. Did a good job, Gary, on fear and anxiety. That was a great teaching. So if you didn't hear that, you can go online and listen to that at homefellowshipchurch.com. Also, we've got videos now that Neely and George are putting up. And so you can watch that too on our Facebook page, I guess, is where it's at. So you can also like us there. I don't have any idea what that does because I'm not on Facebook. But they tell me that's a good thing. So, let's start off. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. It starts off from the recap. Finally, brothers and sisters, it means, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. So that's where we left off. If you remember, Paul was writing, it was now in Corinth, in Sin City, Corinth, which we got to visit. And again, I forgot the pictures, but there was fantastic, even today, that the ruins there are amazing in Greece. We got to see it last year. Me and my family went there. And so Paul is writing to these Thessalonian believers, trying to encourage them in the Lord, strengthen them in the Lord. He cares for them like I care about you guys, like Gary cares about you guys. We care about the folks that are here. We want you to grow and to be stretched and encouraged and strengthened and motivated and lovingly kicked in the pants even once in a while. Because God's got wonderful things for you and wonderful things for us. And so Paul's writing them and he's encouraged them and he told them he wanted them to be holy and again, sanctified, set apart, whatever your Bible translation says. And that just means, you know, from a positional standpoint, you're positionally saved. I want you to be set, you're set apart for him. Like if you remember what we talked about a few weeks ago, you are signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm not going to go through all those scriptures again. But you are signed in the Word of God in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit marked in Him, guaranteeing your inheritance, and you will be delivered. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours, Jesus. And so we are positionally in Him. Now, practically, He wants us to be holy. He wants to be set apart. He wants us to look different than the world. And He's saying, we want you to walk or to live life in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants you in your word, in your Bibles, listening to teachings, listening to the radio, growing, joining some of these Bible studies. It's very easy to become an island to yourself, right? But he wants you in with other believers. He wants you sucking it in on the radio, on all these different places. Because we want to make it our goal to please him. Whether we're at home, in the body, or away from it, our goal, our main message is to please the Lord. That's it. That's your goal as a Christian. Jesus, that should be when you wake up, when you go to work, when you start your day, when you're talking to people that bug you, when you're dealing with that knucklehead boss at work, whatever it is, or that telemarketer on the phone. Lord, what pleases you, not what pleases me? That's our goal. I'm going to skip a lot of this stuff. We really perform for an audience of one. And if we're still trying to please other people, the Bible says we wouldn't even be a servant of Christ. So don't worry about being a people pleaser. Worry about being a God pleaser. Now he's urging us, man, against all the sexual immorality that Paul was seeing in Corinth that was so prevalent in that Greek culture. And he was urging them to abstain from those sinful desires that wage war against their souls. And again, we talked about God's will. Everybody is 100% for doing God's will, right, in a church. When we talk about some things, and we talked about that, hey, being thankful, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, oh, it's God's will for us to be thankful, it says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is his will. Everybody's like, amen, pastor. And then it says in 1 Peter 2:15, to do good. It says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So God wants you to do good in his name, in Jesus' name, to reflect him. It's God's will to find Jesus. John 7:17 says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. It's God's will that you read the word. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern or the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. But then when we get to this, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 in our Bibles here, God wants us to be pure, to avoid sexual immorality, and all of a sudden, Pastor Darren, you're just bugging me. It's you are being too much here. You're over the top. You're being too religious. You're being whatever you want to say. I hear this all the time. But God is saying it is his will for you to avoid sexual immorality. That's his will for you. That's pretty clear. Sexual immorality, the word porneia, where we get our word pornography, that's just any sort of sexual intimacy outside of the marriage covenant. And Hebrews 10:10 says, and by that will we have been sanctified, made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. That's why he wants you to be, because God has paid that price for you. It says that in the beginning, God made them male and female, and therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Mark 10:6-7, also in Genesis. But, you know, nowadays, you can't even say male and female anymore. I watched a study on Berkeley University talking about how many genders there were. I got answers from 6 to 30 to 60 to infinite. But then the interviewer would also always go, so what do you identify as? Oh, I'm a guy. I'm a male. I'm a female. Of course. And so God has designed the sexual intimacy for marriage. That's what he did it for. Okay? It's for a purpose. And we know that the Bible says in Ephesians for us Christians, now if you're not a Christian here, that's you do whatever you do. But if you're a Christian, God says you need to be pure in his eyes. It says, among you Christians, you guys who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity like that or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. God's saying it doesn't reflect me. Oh, but Darren, it's the culture today. You know, everybody sleeps with everybody. I sleep with my boyfriend, my girlfriend. It's okay. And God says, do not listen to the world. Don't conform to it. God is saying, this is my will for you. And he's saying it to help you, not to hurt you. Can I just be honest here? He invented sex. It's not a dirty word. It's a good word. In the marriage covenant, right? Because he wants it to be a picture. The marriage is a picture of the bride and a groom. We're the bride of Christ. He's the groom. And when they get married, they're that intimacy, that closeness, that oneness forever. Because your body, 1 Corinthians 6:19, is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You were bought at a high price, so you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians 6:20. And those people who say, well, I can look, I just can't touch. Matthew 5:28, Jesus addressed that. But I tell you that anyone who's looking at women lustfully, or men, I would say, has already committed adultery with her or him in his heart. God wants to get that out. Run from sexual sin, 1 Corinthians 6:18 says. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. It's serious in God's eyes. That sexual intimacy is a gift from God that must be governed by God. Okay. And again, if you struggle with that, porneia, pornography, looking at stuff, watching at stuff, if you're struggling with adultery or maybe some other stuff, we can give you some courses that will help you. See Pastor Gary or myself, and we'll set you up with a series called the Conqueror Series for women or for men that will help give you freedom from that porneia, from that this culture throws it at you. I mean, heck, you and your little kids could be watching the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden there's pole dancing. Hello! Okay, so it's just thrown at you. Okay, your two-year-old could be watching the Super Bowl, or five-year-old, and that's what they're seeing, okay? All right. So hit those lights for just a second. All right. So starting in verse 4, I'm going to read verse 4 and 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here we go. It said, to avoid sexual immorality, that each of you, he's writing to Christians, should learn to control his own body in a way that's holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who don't know God. Okay, so what God is saying is here, I don't know if I might want to underline this myself, that each of you, he's speaking to the Christians. This is not just for back then, this is for you today. Now, it doesn't matter if you're 15, 55, or 95. Oh, I happen to look at somebody at 95, sorry about that. It doesn't matter what age you are, this message, if you are a Christian, this is for you and me for today. God didn't just write this for back then. It says that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable. And I like that because sometimes we get this feeling, and maybe you do too, that, you know, some people are super Christians. Do you know what I mean? Like, they have a cape, a big S, right? Oh, I can never be like Pastor Gary. Oh, I can never be like Nathan Weaver. Oh, I can never be like Pastor Darren. Oh, I can never be like what? Lisa. And you know what? We're just all people. We're all broken people with faults and foibles, right? Just like you. We're all in this stew together, right? And God's saying, yep, but I'm reaching down. I'm rescuing you out of this. And I want you to learn to control your body. And I like that because the thought in most people's minds is, they've been saved for 6 months, so everything in their life should be perfect. Now, if you've been saved for 6 months, you know that everything in your life is not always perfect. Or a year, or 2 years. Now, sometimes, no, don't get me wrong, I know many Christians who have gotten saved, and they have left that lifestyle. They've left drugs, I've no crack, heroin, prostitution, greed. You know, my, anyway, I'll look at somebody not to give that example. Well, that was a good one, I thought. Okay. Sorry. Now I'm a little caught off guard there. Okay, so... sometimes it happens, but sometimes in some areas that's what happened for me too and my wife. But in other areas, it's taken a lot of stuff. I've got a lifetime of going. I didn't get saved till I was 30, so I have many years of going the wrong direction. Do you know what I'm saying? Bad habits that need to be rooted out of me, scoop at a time. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes that takes a little bit of time, and I like that because that gives me hope. Because if I don't have it all together, God's saying, "Hey, I want you to learn." Step by step, it's okay. I know you're made of dust, right? You're a dirtbag, Scott. No, but you know what? So am I. That's what we're made of, the dust, right? Breathe life into us, right? Apart from him, right? He breathes life into us. You know I'm kind of kidding. You're a wonderful man. Okay, good. It was Ray. Ray, you're next. You're next on that list. He knows that about us, right? He knows we're here for just a short time. So we can learn this stuff. Get that word into us, right? Make it a part of who we are, right? Let God change us from the inside out. So my soul cries out. Anyway, He says in Isaiah, even back in the in Isaiah 1:17, God says to us, learn to do right. Seek justice, just encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. You can learn to do right in him, one step after another. Putting off, the Bible says, all those bad habits, and putting on what God has to say about them. Does that make sense? Even we went over this a couple of weeks ago when I did Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says to take my yoke and learn from me, Jesus says. One step after another, as you're yoked with that other ox, you're yoked with Jesus, one step after another. He says, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and there you'll find rest for your souls. Learn from him, or learn of him, the King James says. Learn of his character, his heart, who he is, what he has to say. Gary, did you have a question? And do you have a microphone? We're missing a microphone runner. We do have one? Oh, good. Oh, Nehemiah, great. Right back there, Mr. Pastor Gary.
Sorry.
Thank you. And the reason why we do this with, and you can go in front of people if it's quicker.
It occurs to me that a lot of times we think that there's something that we can't learn. And, you know, you may not be able to learn, you know, arithmetic, you know, or algebra in that. But God isn't going to tell us to learn something and then not give us the ability, the power to actually learn it. So do not convince yourself that you cannot learn what God wants you to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, the Bible talks a lot about learning. In John 6:45, check this out. It says, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father, and listen to this is important, and learn from him comes to me. So in other words, it's not just cerebral. Do you know what I'm saying? You can learn, you can come here every week and learn information, and it not change your life one little bit. Who wants that? What a waste of time. Go home. Sleep. That's useless. God wants you to apply it to your life. He wants you to hear the word and then do it. He wants you to learn it, to make it a part of who you are. That's where the power comes in. That's where the excitement comes in. That's where living a life for the Lord really shines. That's exciting. And that's when people look at you and say, there's something different about you. Because you don't live the way the world lives. Even when God's warning people in Romans, Paul said, Romans 16:17, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you've learned. Keep away from them. So we got to be encouraged, and we have to know that these things sometimes come step by step. Just like kids, you know, why do we repeat things sometimes? Because repetition is the mother of learning, right? And so sometimes when kids are learning stuff, they'll go over it again and again. And honestly, what I found with adults, regardless of how cool you are or old you are, you know what we really are? We're just big kids. We are. We're big kids. And so God wants to teach us step by step as we walk, footprint after footprint. Psalm 89:15 says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. Now, sometimes learning to acclaim you comes at a cost, hard time, or maybe stretching, or maybe putting off some of those sinful habits, right, that you're addicted to, right? But God says, I want you to put it off of you and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have learned to acclaim you. I have learned to praise you. I have learned to walk in victory. Hallelujah. And to walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. That's the life God wants you to live. Now, how many of you guys play instruments? Would you raise your hand? Wow, get out of here. Okay, now some of your hands raised. I'm thinking, I wonder what they play. Yeah. Okay. Gosh, I almost want to take notes there. Nate should be writing them all down. Okay, now how many of those who raised their hands there would say, and I know we've got others in the kids' church because I know it's like Olivia's in here and she was playing keyboard. So how many would say that you can play it at least okay, fairly well? Would you raise your hand again? Okay, all right, great. Okay, Nate, you should still be taking notes. Anyway, okay, so Tim, your hand went up. Okay, I saw. So, and you left it up the first time a little bit longer, so unfortunately you get called on. So, Can I ask you what instrument do you play?
I play the bass. I play the guitar. I play the keyboard.
Thank you.
Electric guitar.
Okay, so you play.
Play the bass, electric guitar, acoustic guitar.
Okay.
Keyboard.
Okay, great.
I play drums a little bit, but
I play the kazoo, Tim.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm really pretty good at it. Don't laugh until you heard me.
It's good. It's good
stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Okay, so when you started playing those, what would you say you play the best at? Or can I ask you that? I know
it's guitar.
A guitar. Okay. So let's just say when you first started playing guitar, okay, when you picked up that first guitar, I heard you up here. I thought it was really nice. So could you just like, you know, I don't know. What's the strum a riff?
Strum.
Is that okay? Strum a riff. Is that cool? Is that I don't know. I don't know cool music lingo. Anyway, so could you just really just start doing riffs and you were doing songs immediately when you picked that up?
No, not at all.
No. What did you have to do to play like you play now?
I had to learn how to hold the thing first, and I had to learn how to make it sound. I've actually played the clarinet, I played the trumpet, I played the trombone in different places, but I could never make a sound out of a clarinet.
Yeah.
And I thought I was doing pretty good, but everybody stopped playing, and each person got to play, and I couldn't make a sound out of it.
So
I thought I was playing.
So if I understand you correctly, so you had to learn even how to hold the guitar, and then how to play, and then how to play and sing, and then how to do the notes, and I'm guessing it was a long time and probably a lifetime, and you're probably still learning, right?
Oh, yeah.
Such as it is in the Christian life. That's why 1 Thessalonians says here, each of you...
I've been there.
Each of you, you should learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable. Okay? Not in the passionate lust like the heathens who don't know God. Listen, God is saying to you, I don't even know if I should share this story or if I shouldn't because I don't want to be. Before, I didn't get saved until I was almost 30. Okay. And so I was a guy. Gawker. A guy gawker. Does everybody know what I'm saying? My eyes weren't always staring at people's faces when I spoke to them. And so this is who I was. I was, hey, chicky baby, woo, 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 woo. You know, this, you know, stupid stuff. You know, what an idiot. Anyway. I was like an animal, like a dog, right? I had no self-control. We breed dogs, okay? SarasotaGoldenDoodles.com. Anyway, okay, so here we go. So now I can tell you that as a saved person, I'm very faithful to my wife. I've never, you know, since we've gotten married, never even kissed another woman. In passion, of course, I kiss on the cheek and stuff like that, but you know, so I've never even kissed. So I'm very faithful because of the Lord. Can I tell you something? If I wasn't saved, if my life wasn't committed to Jesus Christ, if I didn't learn and train myself to be God, do you know what? I'd be that dog. It's not like at our house, you know, some of the little kids, he's probably over in the kids' church, Ezekiel here? No. Oh, there he is. Anywho, let's just say some of our kids mentioned that some of our dogs weren't faithful to their husband and wife dog because, you know, why? Because they're dogs. They don't have any self. It's not like our Chewbacca dog was saying, you know what? I've already mated with this other one. I'm not going to look at this other dog here. It's righteously, we're married. No, the dog's like, hey, there's another one here. They're in heat. Hello. And that's because that's what a dog does, right? So there's no self-control there, but it says that the fruit of God's Holy Spirit working and living inside of you, right? As you submit to his Holy Spirit, as you submit to him, that self-control empowers you. And you know what? You can say no to those godly things. You know what? Don't be a dog. Learn to control your body in a way that's holy and honorable. Not in the passionate lust like the heathens. Pastor Darren, you just don't understand. I can't. Oh, I do understand. You can train your eyes to look people in the face. You can, you know, when you get that first look and you see somebody attractive, a girl or guy, you can train your eyes to go back and to not go back for that second or third gawking look. Do you know what I'm saying? You can train yourself to be godly. You do it over and over again, just like you play that guitar. You learn over time. You work at it. It didn't just like poof and magically you're doing a riff. It takes a lot of time. But you can do that if you want to honor the Lord. God is saying you do that. He says in there, he says, I want you to learn to control your own body. Look at that in verse 4. In a way that's holy and honorable. Okay? That word holy in Greek right there is hagiasmos. And that means, again, set apart for special use. Like in the temple when they would set apart some of the goblets. And I don't know if I said this 2 weeks ago because I had it in my head to say it. So if I'm repeating this from a couple weeks ago and I forgot, please forgive me. But turn in your Bibles really quickly to Daniel. I'm going to give you an example of not treating it holy or sanctified or consecrated or set apart. Daniel chapter, let me see, I'm going to go there myself. I'm getting there. Amazing. Daniel 6. Hold on a second. Daniel 5. Just go to Daniel, and we'll get you there. Daniel chapter 5. Okay? Come on. Turn the pages. Don't be lazy. Get there. It's in the middle of your Bible. After Ezekiel, after Isaiah, Jeremiah. You can do it. Because I want you to read this stuff for yourself. And if you're an underliner or a highlighter, underline, highlight what God speaks to you. Okay, I'm going to read you the story. And this is treating things in a way God wants us to be holy, set apart for his use. In other words, if a goblet was used or a trumpet or a shovel or a table was used for God, if it was a shovel that they were using for something, like maybe to grab showbread or something in God's temple, it would only be used for God. You wouldn't take that shovel and go out and dig in the dirt with it. Because, oh my goodness, that was set apart for God's use. So are you. You are set apart for God's use. Okay? So, chapter 5. There's a guy by the name of King Belshazzar. He was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And it says in chapter 5, verse 1, Daniel, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. He was the king of Babylon at the time. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, and that just means ancestor in the Hebrew, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines, concubines is another word for, yeah, I don't know, yeah, prostitute, yeah, let's just say. His concubines might drink from them. So they brought these gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines drank from them. So they're partying up. They're using God's stuff. Woo, yeah, whatever. And look what happens. It says, verse 4, as they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood. And finally, verse 5 says, suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. If you were with us for our Daniel study, I showed you the ruins of that. And it says, the king watched the hand as it wrote. I just imagine this hand going, little lightning bolts, writing stuff on the wall. It says, the king watched as the hand wrote. His face turned pale. Here's the king of the world at the time. And he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. And then he called all the enchanters and all those people in to find out what it says. And of course, if you guys remembering the story, it said, meeny, meeny, tekel, parson, you have been fade, you've been weighed and found wanting. And so he calls up everybody. Nobody could tell him what it means, but he sent for Daniel, who gave him the explanation. And he said, if anybody, Daniel, if you could tell me what this means, I'll make you third highest in command of the king of Babylon. I'll give you robe and gold and all this stuff. And jump down to verse 17. It says, and Daniel answered the king, said, you may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. And then what happens is, it says, I'll just read from there in verse 18. It says, O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor because of the high position he gave him. All the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But verse 20 says, but when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets them over anyone he wishes. And then in verse 22, listen to this, because we are responsible for what we learn, guys. But you, his son, or his ancestor, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. It says, you had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles and your wives and your concubines drank from them. You praised the God of silver and gold, bronze and iron and wood and stone, which you cannot see nor hear nor understands. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hands your life and all his ways. Do you honor the God who holds your life in his hands? Are you treating precious? He says that you are sanctified. He wants your life to be set apart for his purposes. Noble purposes, not ignoble purposes. He's set you apart. I've chosen you. Is that how you, is that how I am living my life? We need to learn to control our body. Listen, you know what? If you need help, ask somebody. And we'll stand with you. If you need to get rid of the computer or the phone, or you need to set up an app on there to help you, we'll do that. It says back in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, listen, guys, I know this is not a popular message for churches to hear, but this is the truth in Jesus' name. And it's for today. And I know people leave when they hear this stuff. But you can't just listen to whatever your itching ears wants to hear. You have to listen to all of it. The full counsel of God. Stuff you want to hear and stuff you don't want to hear, right? Because it's all true. Listen, he says, I want you to live in a way, the Bible says, that's holy and honorable. And that I didn't know what that word honorable meant, like in the Greek. And so I went back and I looked it up, and that word honorable means, it's the word is time in the Greek. And it means valuable. It means priceless. I want you to live in a way that's holy, and it means valuable. It means priceless, but it also means this literally, and I wrote it down in my Bible. I can barely see it. It literally means the price paid or received for something that is bought. Bought. The price paid for something that is bought. So in other words, what God is saying to you and to me in these verses is, I want you to learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable, realizing that you were bought. Time, you were bought with a price. That's what it means. So God is saying, I want you to learn to control your body, not like the pagans, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 20, that you were bought at a price. I want you to live in an honorable way, out of thankfulness. Listen, sometimes I don't know who's saved and who's not. Sometimes we'll baptize someone. I don't know if they're going to go on for the Lord. We talk to them, of course. We explain the scriptures, but you'll see it in their life. Because a Christian might stumble, he might backslide a little bit, but you know what? He's going to want to follow the Lord. And because he realizes that he was bought with a price, that today he realized, he's thankful. And that's the least I can do. All my sins from the past are gone because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross. All that debt is gone. But not only all that debt that's gone, but I've been credited an unlimited amount of grace in the future. So my account is filled up to the top with whatever I can. That's incredible. And because of that price that was paid, and I realize that, I'm going to learn to control my own body. I'm going to live for him in a way that's pleasing to him and honorable to him. Does that make sense, everybody? I want you to learn to live in a way that's holy and honorable. Not in the passionate lust like the heathen who don't know God. And then the next few verses here. How am I doing on time? Oh, by the way, the first part of that verse, I forgot about that. It says, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, because you were bought with a price. Same message. Huh. Interesting. Back in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says this, in verse 6, it says, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother. That word, by the way, is adelphos. That means brother or sister. Those of the same, you know, father, brethren is what it means, believers. So no one should wrong his brother or sister or take advantage of him or her. Listen, that's pretty clear. When you look at your brother or your sister, you should be looking at how to help them and encourage them to keep them pure. Can I tell you, as an unsaved guy, that is the exact opposite of what I looked for. My whole goal, just to be blunt honest with you, and I know this might sound sad, but my whole goal as a guy was to take advantage of the girl, of the woman. Just to be honest, because I was living selfishly for myself. How sad is that? Now, I might have put on the nice guy image if that worked, or the tough guy image if that worked. But honestly, my whole thing was to take advantage of them. God's saying, hey, now that you're saved, don't do that anymore. That's not who you are. You're bought with a price. Now honor God. Listen, it says in 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2, it says that we're to treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, all respectfully. That's what it's saying. Younger women as sisters. With what? Can you see that? Absolute purity. It's almost like purity wasn't enough. Absolute purity. Zoinkaramas. Now that's the opposite of this culture, isn't it? That's the opposite of what you're being thrown at every second of the day. But that's what God says. Now, why do we need to be holy? Why do we need to be honorable? Timae? You know, why do we need to be sexually pure? Why is he putting such an emphasis? Why is God doing this to us? And here's the reason. I'm going to give you four reasons, okay? I'm going to read the verses, and then we'll go over them. It says, after the Lord will take advantage of him, it says, the Lord will punish men, and that's mankind, so it's men or women, it's not just the men getting the raw end of the deal, for all such sins. We have already told you and warned you. Verse 7 says, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit. So here are the four reasons right here listed in our text of why God wants us to do that. Number one, in verse 6, it says the Lord will punish men for all such sins. Never once have I seen this bumper sticker on anybody's car. I know the plans. Never once have I seen it on a t-shirt. Never once. All the Bible promises, God will punish all such men or women for sexual immorality. Not once have I seen that. Because people don't want to hear that. And I don't necessarily want to tell you that. But God wants you to know that and me to know that. So it's imperative. I'm responsible to God for what you know. So there's the first reason. Listen to this. There's a beautiful verse that sometimes we'll read at weddings, okay? And I love it. Here you go. Here it is. Hebrews 13:4. It says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. Such a beautiful verse, isn't it? Now, can I show you something else? That's really not the whole verse, for those of you who don't know. There's an additional part to that, okay? This is the doozy. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Hello! So that's the number one reason why you have God's promise that if you choose to live this way, that he will discipline you. That there's a consequence for it. Now, it might not happen that second. Nobody knows I'm on the screen. Nobody knows I'm on my phone. Nobody knows I'm... But you know what? Your sin will find you out. If not by others, it's by the Lord. And he will take care of it. So you better repent before it's too late. That's just the bottom line. Pastor, this is another weighty sermon. I like Gary's better. You'll get that in another week or two, okay? So the first was the Lord will punish all men for such sins. And the number two is that God did not call us to be impure but to live a holy life. God has, from the beginning, Peter, it says at the end to live a holy life. And even in the very beginning, God is saying that I've set you apart. Leviticus 11:44 says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself, set aside, make yourself be holy, for I am holy. This is so... like even countercultural to Christian churches. But this is what he wants from us. People need to be able to see you and say there's something different. They need to look at me and say the same thing. Not because I'm anything special, right? But because the living God is with me, right? That's why we need to be set apart. We need to stand out. Number three, in verse 8, it says, therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God. So listen. So whenever I preach teaching, or whenever I do teachings on this, people get mad and leave the church. Now listen, can I tell you something? I've got folks that I love. And I'll be honest with you, they hate me. In part because of these verses. I hate that. But can I tell you something? I rest knowing that even though people get mad and you might be getting mad, that was just old school, that was just blah, blah, blah. No, that's for you now today. It's just you don't want to hear it. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. You don't want to hear it. But God loves you enough and says, here. Now, you can be mad at me. You can not come to church. You can dig your heels in and live the way you want or say all that judgmental pastor, whatever. I don't like him. He's funny, but I don't like him. You can do whatever you like, and I'll take some little solace in the fact that you're not really rejecting me. You're really rejecting the Lord. I didn't say that you should avoid this sexual immorality and all this stuff. He did. Look, just for the fun of it. Oh, you want to do what? I even do with my Bible? Okay, go to the end of the Bible. The end of the Bible. I did another one in Revelation, but I'm going to do one more. The last chapter in the book of Revelation, not Revelations. There's no S at the end. Revelation 22 is the last chapter, and I love this. I don't know if I read this, but verse 12. I'm going to read verse 12 to 15 to you. Okay, when you get there, Revelation 22. This is the words of Jesus. It's red letter in mine, okay? Behold, I am coming soon, Jesus says. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. So what you do matters. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 14 says, blessed are they who have washed their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. But it says in verse 15, outside of heaven, outside are the what? What dogs don't have what? Self-control, right? Outside are the dogs. That's interesting, isn't it? those who practice magic arts. Oh, it's just a little magic. What's the big deal? Anyway, I'll stay away from that. The sexually immoral, those who live a sexually immoral lifestyle, porneia. The murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Zoinkarama. Don't tell me God doesn't think this is important. And listen, I am telling you these things, and God is telling you these things, not to ruin your fun. Listen, there's a freight train a-coming. Okay? Now, just because he doesn't give you... Listen, all the rewards that I get, I don't get them here right now. Sometimes God delays those rewards, right? When we get to heaven, right? He's going to... I still cry here sometimes. I still feel pain. Number 9 on Tuesday. Not looking forward to it.
8 or 9.
In Jesus' name. And so those rewards are to be with him forever, right? Sometimes I don't feel close down here. Sometimes I feel, Lord, I need you. Where are you? But those rewards, so sometimes those punishments aren't right away either. But they're coming. God is a man of his word. God of his word. You know what I'm saying. Do you know what I'm saying? That's important stuff. So don't reject what God is saying to you. My children... a friend of mine was telling me that his son got disciplined. What he's trying to teach him to hold his hand, and what happened was he ran in a parking lot. Okay, you know what can happen in a parking lot. You can't, little guy. You can't see them. Bam, and so that you're supposed to hold my hand and walk with me. Now. Do you think that, and you know what that dad did? That dad gave him a discipline. I forgot what he said exactly what it was. Maybe a spank on his butt, whatever it is. But that dad gave him a discipline for breaking off his hands and running and doing what he wanted. Now, can I ask you a question? Is that father a bad dad for disciplining his son? What a mean dad. He purposely gave pain to that little boy's heart. What a mean dad, right? Why are you shaking your head no? Because what? Because he did it because he loves that boy and is trying to teach him so he will learn, right? And actually so that his life will be saved. Does that make sense? And then the fourth reason. Oh, my little ADD brain. I don't even know where the clicker is. There we go. The fourth reason In verse 8b, it says that God, who gives you his Holy Spirit, he's given you everything. He's given you his son. How many of you would give up, if you have a child, would give up your child, allow them to be tortured, mocked, crucified, for somebody you don't, you know what I'm saying? God did. But not only that, he wanted to be so close to you. He says, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you. I don't just want to be with you. I want to be in you. Listen, whether you want to hear it or not, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The Bible says, don't be deceived. Because you can be tricked. We can trick ourselves, right? Because we want our flesh to be satisfied, don't we? Sometimes, can I just be honest? Sometimes I don't want to adhere to God's rules. I know what's best for me, but I want what I want. That's what my flesh says. My spirit says, yeah, but you know that's not right. You're right, God. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked by the world or your own flesh. Oh, I can't, Pastor. You don't know my sexual drive is too much. You know what? You think too little of your God. You don't understand the power that he has. Listen, neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the homosexual, the thieves, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. That's what some of... right? I fit some of these categories. But God saved us from that. He doesn't want you to be a drunk anymore. He doesn't want you to steal from people anymore. He doesn't want you to live that dishonoring homosexual or lesbian lifestyle. He doesn't want you to be sexually immoral anymore. He doesn't want that for you. All right, so I got to finish out this last verse, so I'm going to close out. Chris, can you hit that light for just a second? Speed, speed, speed. Feeling the need for speed. Sorry, didn't realize I was taking so long. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says this in verse 9. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you. Yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. That's that Greece area. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. So if you're at a place where you're like, I'm done loving people, ask God to fill you with more of his love, because you need to do it more and more as you mature in the Lord. And then verse 11, and this is in 12, these are the last verses. God says, make it your ambition, or aspire to, some of your translations say, to lead a quiet life. Now some translations will say, to study and be quiet. God doesn't want you to shut your mouth. I'll explain that in a minute. But to leave a quiet life is probably a better translation or better understanding of the thought behind it. To mind your own business, that just means not to be a busybody, a gossiper, a slanderer, right? A lot of people, they feel like they can fix everybody else, but they're not working on their own issues. Okay? It says not to be a busybody, mind your MYOB. Now you know that's from the Bible. To work with your hands. Back in that Greek culture, they thought that if you had to work with your hands, that was low. You were kind of like low class. And you know what? Paul was a tent maker. Jesus was a carpenter. The apostles were, many of them were fishermen. Listen, if you work with your hands, that's an honored position, not dishonored. Anyway, it says, so that your daily life might win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. And so when he says he wants you to live this quiet life, this life that earns the respect of people, it's the quiet life that comes from, it kind of contradicts like the insatiable attraction that we have to entertainment and excitement. The addiction to entertainment and excitement is damaging both spiritually and culturally. And we might say that it's almost like a religion. The religion of excitement and entertainment, ready, has a God, and that God is yourself. You're trying to please yourself. That religion has priests, and that's celebrities, whether they be musically related or Hollywood related or even political, right? The religion has a prophet, and that's perpetual entertainment. The religion has scriptures, social media, tabloids, entertainment, news, info programs, all that. It's not saying to live a quiet life. You know, sometimes I love my phone, and it's helpful, but can I tell you, sometimes I want to take a hammer to it. Just turn it off. Beep, boop, bop, beep, reminder, ping, pang, zing, zong, zoom. You know, my wife, bless her heart, first thing she gets up, now she does devotions on it, so it's good. First thing she does, gets up, check the phone. First thing I get up, you know what I do? Check the phone. Do you know what, though? Sometimes, can I just, don't get mad at me, I leave the phone. I go on a date night, you know what? There's 2-3 hours. Pastor, you didn't return my text. Nope. Because I'm out with my wife right now. Monday, hey, you know what? Pastor, you didn't return my, it's been 20, I was out with my family. I'm taking time with my family today. Sometimes all these noises, I have to have the TV on or I feel like, stop. This religion of entertainment has places of worship. And there's nothing wrong with amusement parks and theaters. You guys hear what I'm saying, right? But if you're spending all your time there and not time with him, something's wrong. Because amusement parks, theaters, concerts, sports arenas, and every TV and internet connection can be like a mini chapel. The religion of excitement and entertainment seduces people into living their lives for one thing, the thrill of the moment. And this religion asks its followers only one question. Is it fun? It never asks more important questions like, is it true? Is it right? Is it good? Is it godly? And we need to live the quiet life so we can really take the time and give attention to listen to God. When we live the quiet life, we can listen to God and know him better. And I'll leave you with these last two scriptures. Maybe three. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3 says, I want you to pray for everybody. that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Even when we go to church in Ecclesiastes, listen to this. I love this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 1 through 2. It says, guard your steps when you go near to the house of God. Go near to what? Go near to what? Listen. Listen. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you're on earth. So let your words be few. Put some of that entertainment aside. Spend some time with the Lord. And then lastly, I'll leave you with this one. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. So listen, your God wants you sometimes. If you don't do it yourself, you know what he's going to do? He's going to make you lie down. Because he loves you. Where you're, there's nowhere else, and I don't know about you, but when I lay down, there's only one place I'm looking. If I'm a flat on my back, if I can just be, oh, so sorry, honey. If I'm flat on my back, where's the only place I'm looking? Does that make sense, guys? All right. Let him restore your soul. Quiet your lives. Put away some of those news outlets, maybe for a little bit. Some of those video games, maybe a little bit. They're not bad. None of these things are bad. Your Facebooks, your Instagrams, your Twitters, your, I don't even know. Maybe just set them down a little bit and spend some time with the Lord, because he wants to do just what you see in this picture. Lead you beside still waters, and he wants to restore your soul. I'm so anxious about so many things. I'm so freaked out. And God's like, I just want you to spend time with me because I want to restore your soul. Because I love you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this incredible congregation, this great church group of people, Lord God. Thank you for your people. I pray that you would speak to them, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that they wouldn't stop up their ears or be mad at me for what's being said. I pray that you would hear a loving Father that's trying to help them to do things his way for a purpose, for a good purpose, Lord, that will even help them into the future, Lord. I pray a blessing on each person here today, Lord God. Encourage them and strengthen them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and do a mighty work that they may shine and that people would look at their lives and say, I want to know this God that you know. Bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them today. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen, guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Love you all.